Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again for another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're here today with Father Ed Freedy, pastor of Christ the King Parish, my parish in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and been wanting to have Father on for a while to talk about a subject he loves to talk about, and it builds on what we talked about last week, which was really some of the teaching of St. Paul from his letter to the Galatians, talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And so I asked Father Ed, he'd be a perfect guest to help us understand more. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Peter.
So glad you could be with us. So last week I was going to take up chapter 4, but never quite got there. It's that beautiful section where Paul is talking about essentially how the gift of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, given to us in baptism, makes us children of God. So let me just read what he says here in verse 4, chapter 4. It says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So through God, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir." All right, so the gift of the Holy Spirit is directly connected to our becoming children of God. So as you hear that, but what, first, just from your heart, kind of off the top, what does that passage make you think? What comes to your mind when you hear it?
Well, when Jesus uses an expression like Abba, it says to me that the triune God wants to be very intimately involved in our lives. A deeper union with Jesus and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit is meant to be far more personal. And, you know, just kind of my experience of walking down the streets of Jerusalem around time when dads are getting home from work and watching as the door opens and a little kid comes flying down the sidewalk seeing dad yelling, Abba, Abba, Abba's home. You know, the kind of intimacy that you'd have expressed there with a kid to his father. When Jesus uses an example like that and invites us to that same level of intimacy, it's just very exciting about the level of closeness that they want to have with us.
This passage in Galatians also, Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 8, I think it is, right? When it says chapter 5, he says the Spirit's been poured into our hearts. But in chapter 8, he uses the same word, Abba. And he said the Spirit bears witness to our spirit, you know, that who God is, who Jesus is. And it's really deep and it's really intimate. And it seems like there are few people who actually experience that in life. Why is that?
Well, I think part of the reason is because to have the kind of experience really requires that you have a prayer life, mm-hmm. that you actually spend time. Because for most Catholics, their experience of God is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which is a great blessing. It's the source and summit of our life. But the nature of our relationship with God as expressed in the Mass tends to be a more formal kind of relationship because it is the source and summit. It is the heart of who we are. But the Constitution on the Liturgy points out that the Mass is not supposed to be 100% of our spiritual life. In fact, the Constitution on the Liturgy mentions that we should have an individual prayer life kind of relationship with God so that we can have those moments where we experience his intimate care, his intimate love. Because if the only experience that we have is the more formal one, then we will tend to always relate to him in a more formal setting. So it's one thing to say, Father, all-powerful and ever-living God, we dwell always and everywhere to give you thanks, which is precisely the heart of the Church crying out to the Father during the liturgy. But that's not exactly the same as having that kind of intimate union that we express as Abba. And if we don't have an individual prayer life, if we don't seek him in that way, especially if we don't immerse ourselves in the Scripture to see the level of intimate care that he has for us, then it will tend to be a more formal relationship.
Yeah, I was thinking the contrast from what you're saying in terms of the corporate worship of the Church and then just personal prayer time. I know maybe sitting in your on your chair early in the morning and praying and just saying, Father, you know, and allowing the Holy Spirit in that quiet to help us learn that God is our Father. You know, there's so many images of God the Father that are so inaccurate. You know, they're just, it seems like this tender idea of God as Father is one of the images that's furthest away from people's experience. Why is that? And what are some of the ways do you think people most often picture God when they think about him?
Well, I think what that gets connected to is the fact that virtually every image you see of a saint and almost every image you see of Jesus, none of them look like they're happy doing what they're doing. And the consequence of that is that you feel like, well, they'll do this for you, but only because they have to. And if that's the kind of the image that you have, that when, especially I was looking at, you know, some of the images of the Father in art recently, and Abba is just about a million miles away from any of the kind of the content that those images convey. I remember back in the 70s when they first started making pictures of Jesus and he was smiling. And there was actually a fairly significant reaction to that because it was looked at as being too familiar. Why would he smile? It's serious business. And you kind of get the sense that, yeah, he'll save us, but the idea of us having an intimate union with him in joy, love, and peace is just not expressed by any of these. And so I think, you know, I'm a firm believer that our symbolism and especially our art really impacts what people think about when they're praying. And so when you see images of the Father that make it look like he's just looking for an excuse to throw you into hell, this does not invite intimate union, you know. So I think part of that is just the visual images that we have are like that. But it also gets back to how familiar are Catholics with the content of the Word of God. Because if people pray the Liturgy of the Hours, for example, and they immerse themselves in the Psalms, they have a much more intimate union with God because they see the constant expression of his love and his care as articulated by the Psalms, which is a great gift. Because then when you see how, or in the lives of the great saints, you know, when you see how intimately they related, then it opens the door for, you know, that would be something we should pursue too.
Yeah, there's a freedom in the some of the expression of many of the saints talk about. The free access to God, God's Father, they really come to rely on his mercy. They encounter him as fundamentally merciful and loving, which he is. And that's exactly what Jesus communicated, right? Because the mercy of God has come to us in Christ. It's the heart of the Father, the desire to forgive. Of course, many people have seen that beautiful painting of the prodigal son, right? Where, who's the famous painter? The famous painting
Rembrandt.
Rembrandt's, I think, his. And it's just beautiful, tender, you know, the son is kneeling down and the father has his arms around him.
Yeah, that hangs outside of our confessional, actually, yeah.
Yeah, yes, and I think it's so hard. I think we can see it and see the beauty in it, but I think it's hard for people to see themselves as the son or the daughter who's being embraced, who's being forgiven, who's being tenderly loved by the father.
I agree completely. But of course, a lot of it gets back to what's our experience of forgiveness? What's our experience of our Father like? You know, those kinds of issues, because we tend to project our experiences onto what God must be like.
Yeah.
And of course, the difficulty is that, you know, if we put ourselves in God's shoes, and if I think to myself, if I were God, how would I treat me? It wouldn't be with Abba, you know? I mean, I would be more harsh and unforgiving, etc., because a lot of us, we don't see ourselves as being made in the image and likeness of God and so lovable and so healed as he wants to bring about in us. And of course, then it makes it more difficult for us to believe that, why would he actually love me anyway?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Here's the point today in our conversation is that something Dave Mangan, a friend of ours, has said many times, you know, God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it.
Exactly.
You know, this is the reality of his orientation. You're his idea. He made you. He loves you. He understands your situation and your struggles and your weaknesses more than, and your failures more than you ever will. And in the midst of that, while we were yet sinners, quote unquote, he sent his son. And love came to rescue us. And he knows we need to be rescued. And it's his love that's rescuing us. And he wants us to know that love. It's not just to live in a high emotional feeling, but deep transforming love that helps us understand and see ourselves differently. What do you think are the keys to people? You touched a little bit on in terms of the Word of God. What do you think are key things to helping people lay hold of that? I know you've been a pastor and a good pastor for many years. What are some of the things that you help lead people into so they can begin to see themselves as a son and daughter of God in a way that's healing and alive and they're confident in it?
Well, I think part of that is just coming to a truer understanding of exactly what he's like.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can never really understand ourselves until we understand him. As, you know, Pope St. John Paul the Great talks about, that Jesus reveals us to ourselves. We need to understand who he is and how he responds to us. And of course, you know, the Father is the same way. How do we understand how he looks at us? And again, that gets back to the scripture. But, you know, the difficulty that we constantly experience is that Catholics tend to not be as immersed in the Word of God as the Church has pleaded with us to be.
Yeah.
You know, the Constitution on Divine Revelation that just pleads with the Catholic faithful to immerse themselves in God's Word. If we did more of that, then we would see more clearly just how much he loves us. You know, because the kind of the common dichotomy that you hear about people, that the Old Testament, which is mostly about the Father, is the God of judgment, the God of wrath, and the New Testament, always about Jesus, and it's, you know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, who loves us, etc. And while a lot of that, the Jesus part is, of course, true, part of the difficulty is that it really reflects a fundamental ignorance of both scriptures. Because if you want to talk about the intimate nature of God's relationship with his people, you can't find that better expressed in too many places in Song of Songs, which mm-hmm. is a passionate love song. In fact, you know, when you read what some of the rabbis say about the Song of Songs, typically when you think about Judaism, you think the Torah, the Pentateuch, is the primary focus. But some of the rabbis said, in order to actually express the nature of the heart of God, that if God wrote only one book, it would have been Song of Songs.
Yeah.
The most intimate expression of the lover who pursues us. If we looked at the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as being in love with us and actually pursuing us for that union, for that relationship, then we think, they want it, so it's got to be okay, so it's okay for us to open ourselves to it.
Yeah.
You know, and that the fact that we constantly experience ourselves as being so catastrophically unworthy then wouldn't stop us, because it's not our initiative, it's his.
Right. And it's something he wants us to receive and to accept. Instead of, our relationship with him is a gift.
Right.
It's not a human achievement. It's not the result of my striving.
Right.
It's not the result of my perfecting myself in some way. He comes to me just as I am. He's going to lead me through the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead me to be conformed to Jesus, you know, throughout now till Jesus brings me home to the Father. But fundamentally, it's a life-transforming gift that he wants to give us. And just receiving it, I think, is hard for folks. Because, like you say, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough. Here's 100 reasons why he shouldn't do this, right? Because I keep falling on my face, I keep doing things I'm not supposed to be doing. And Jesus, it's precisely that reality he's come to free you from and give you a new heart and a new mind, a new capacity to look at God differently, a new capacity to look at yourself differently and those around you. And that's a power that we need. We need real power to live a different way of life, don't
exactly.
we? Yeah.
But the difficulty is if we connect him wanting to get to know us with the perfection of our way of life, that's where we run into trouble. Because then we start looking at union with Jesus or with the Father and with the Holy Spirit as being a reward for our perfection, which is just crazy.
Yeah. That's a good thing for us to talk about tomorrow. And I'm hoping you can be here all week with me. We'll see. Well, I hope I can convince you to be a part of the show all week long. But let's talk tomorrow a bit about how the Holy Spirit gives us new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life, which means a new power to live in freedom, to see ourselves differently, to love in a way that we've never loved before, and then it's real. And there's just so much to this. So friends, I hope you can join us tomorrow. Father Ed will be back with us. Just as you move through the day today, remember, you are a child of God. Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.